All right. So, loving God, we thank you that we've been here this weekend, that we've had this opportunity to just listen to you through Sister Janet. And we just thank you for putting the ideas and the thoughts and the things in our head that you have and that apply to us and help us. And Lord, those things that are helpful for us to be real in our relationship with you, to be real in our relationship with each other, and not put on phony airs and all that kind of fun stuff. And Lord, let your Holy Spirit move each one of us as we not only are here, but as we go home and down to our home church, that every day we can be prime examples for people who come into there. We can think about our actions, not only just at church, but all over the place. But we can think about our actions, how they not only affect us, but every people around us. Because people are watching us, and the people respond to how we behave. And it's just the way it is, Lord. But the thing is, we need to. I mean, you don't ask us to do anything that's out of line or weird. You just ask us to love each other and to care for each other. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us to do that, to take that part of this service home and be real in everybody's eyes and in our lives. So we thank you for that. We thank you for this love offering we're going to give for Janet. Ask you to help us, to help Janet to use it and what she needs to do. And we thank you for the opportunity of giving. And so we praise you and ask you to watch over anybody who may be traveling or traveling with us as we leave. So praise you, thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Good to be with you again. I hope everybody had a good night's sleep. I did. Woo! Well, we've had church already. I just enjoy the praise and worship. That just sets everything. As I always say, when you enter into a place where God is here with us, you feel like you've already had church. We could just go home, but we'll put the little icing on the cake with a little message from the Word. God, I just commit this time of sharing your Word to you, and I ask that you would speak and touch and enlighten our hearts and minds and our souls as we receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save us. We declare it to be so now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, remember Friday night we started our Keeping It Real by rejoicing, encouraging. And we started, remember, rejoicing is to truly be happy in the Lord regardless of your circumstances, learning how to celebrate the goodness of God regardless of what is going on around you, and having those happy moments, taking out those timeouts to assess and sing yourself into a good place and praise yourself into a place where God is always on the throne of your heart. And that God had instilled in the people of Israel all the festivals so that they would remember the goodness of God. So when we lose that, we must always hold on to that spirit of rejoicing. And then we learned about encouragement, that God is our ultimate encourager, that we are to first be encouraged by who God is in us. And that we can then take this. This is a gift that helps us to bring to the practical and personal level the teachings and the prophecies and the Word of God. And that if each other encourages one another, then we're all built up into the body. And everybody feels good. And today we're going to take it to the next level. We did the re, and today we're doing the al. So we're going to talk about being real is agreeing with one another. Jesus told us about the power of prayer. And of course, we are called to agree on matters of eternal consequence. You know, there are going to be times when we will agree to disagree, but on the things of God, we must come together in the Spirit. And Jesus said that if two of you shall agree on earth as regarding anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. Now, this word agreement is like an orchestra with all instruments tuned perfectly. I can tell you that I have been to a middle school. It was a private school, and they had an a band, and it was torture. Besides the tuning, which never made it to the tune, they weren't ever tuned, that whenever they played, it was just like, it was, I don't know if you could see the expression on my face, but it was, you know, get me out of here. But when you hear and you go to the symphony and you hear the beautiful tuning process, and then you hear that first entrance to the song that they began to play so eloquently, there's nothing like it. And agreement is like a symphony. It is like a harmony. Everything tuned together. You know, we were singing this morning. I know we're few in number here, so I'm not sure if we'll sing our song. Do y'all want to sing? How many of you know how to sing harmony, a harmony part? A little bit? Okay, a little bit. Okay. When you have a piece that you sing and you sing it with all the parts, there's nothing more beautiful than pulling all of that together. We might do that. Let's do that at another time. I think we'll do that later. But I want to talk to you a little bit about a perfect agreement of the hearts, of the desires, of the wishes, and the voices of two or more persons praying to God looks like this. Look at the electricity going through the hand. Look what happens. I think sometimes we forget the power of agreement. This is probably the most powerful, unstoppable force. And that's why the enemy fights to see discord and strife and disharmony in our families and in our relationships, in our home units. And so God wants us to work through this. And if you fail to get the results of feeling that you're together in one accord, in a spirit of agreement, then you run a harmony check. You run a harmony check. What am I sounding like, a clanging gong or a cymbal? Or am I really ringing true and bringing something beautiful to the situation? Jesus always tells us, he said, when you come to bring your gifts to the altar, if you have something against someone else, you need to leave your gift there, go and ask forgiveness and be reinstated. It's hard for us to come together in a spirit of agreement when we have something against another person. So forgiveness is the way we are to live and operate. You know we're always going to be needing to ask for that. So Jesus said, if you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So we stay in that place of grace. You know that in the body of Christ, we agree on the essentials: one Lord, one faith, one baptism. In life, there are many things that we agree on as well as we disagree. I like Chinese food, you like Italian. You know, I like coffee, you like tea. I like to watch a good movie, you like to work out for an hour. I like football, you like tennis. You know, but we've learned to agree to disagree about many things. But the thing is, when it comes to the heart and the purposes of God in the church, we are to be of one mind and one heart and one spirit. And all these things we must agree on. And when we come together in prayer and the power of agreement, that's when we hit it out of the ballpark. I've been seeing a lot of balls being hit out of the ballpark. Our Astros, Houston Astros, are knocking it out of the ballpark. Woo! So just think about it in the spiritual realm, and it's very exciting. In 1 Peter 3, verse 8, Peter encouraged us. He says, be like-minded. Show sympathy, love, compassion, and humility to and for one another, not paying back evil for evil or insult with insult, but repaying the bad with a blessing. It was this you were called to do so that you might inherit a blessing. Like Pastor D said, we may not have found the camp in very good shape when we got here, but when we leave it, they're going to know we were here because we left a good trace. All right, agreement is also walking in unity. You know, we're to be of one mind, and we're to think the same things about Christ, for He is our focus, always and at all times. There is but one Lord, one faith, one baptism, as I said. And so how can we walk together unless we agree on the things of God? So we have to lay aside our differences, be united, and that will allow us to walk together. The truth is we need each other. We can't accomplish the things of God as a body without working together. And if we want to change the world, if we want God to truly have His will accomplished through us in the earth, then we must come into a spirit of agreement and build strong, healthy relationships. You know, there's a story in the scriptures, and Paul refers to it as he's addressing the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 10:10, and he brings them back to the days when Israel was going through the wilderness. Moses was leading them. They were getting ready to go into the promised land. They were right there, and so God had Moses send the spies in. So the 12 spies, one from each tribe, went in. And so they came back. 12 of them gave their reports. 2 of them were positive. 10 were negative. And you know, when you have 10 negative reports, the multitude believed the 10. And they did not believe the 2. And so what happened here was God said, well, if you're not going to accept my blessing, then I'm going to let you all just keep wandering around in the wilderness till you die out. And I'll bring in the next generation into the promised land. And so they all died out. But what also happened was the complainers of the complainers, they also were taken out too. So it just, God kept reducing the number, because those who believe my word, who walk in my word, who trust my word, who stand in the power of agreement and believe me, they will get to enter in. And it's so exciting to know that Joshua and Caleb got their inheritance. They got to go in, and Joshua ended up being the military leader that took them in. Divisiveness is never a good thing, and we need unity to move forward and take what God has promised, because without unity and working in a spirit of agreement, we are paralyzed. We are paralyzed. Israel would have remained, and they just kept moving and moving and moving. I can't imagine. Moses just probably said, we were right there. We were right there. He probably had to shed a few tears, but he knew what God had said, and he always followed what God told him to do. Now, I can't help but think about our country, the divisiveness that's evident in our nation today, and it's just evident at every level. And it's just heartbreaking to see what is going on right now. And so I really believe that that God is calling the church. You know, I think we're feeling it every level. You know, in society, we're feeling it in our government, we're feeling it in the church. And so again, 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You know, we cannot reach our goal as a church if we do not embrace the plan and the process and the efforts made to get us there. And so divided we fall or we fail, but united we succeed. Just think about it. God did not have Moses drag people in to the promised land. You don't ever drag people forward. They either come with you or, nice knowing you, but you can't. They have to be drawn by the Spirit. So let's go to this next slide. We ask the question, do we coast enjoying our current status, or do we plan, set goals, and move forward? Now, if we plan and set goals, we must all agree on what that will be. Then we are in one accord, right? We're in harmony. Now, look at this quote. I could not hardly resist putting it in there. I'm reading a book called Chase the Lion by Mark Batterson. Fabulous, fabulous book. But anyway, this quote says, insanity is coasting through life in a miserable existence when you have a caged lion locked inside and the key to release it. How many of you want to let your lion out, you know? I do. Oh, my goodness. I was reading my book, this book, and I was reading it to my senior one day. Would you like me to read to you? Yes. You know, and I was reading, and, you know, he's so, when he'll take it in, and then he'll throw something back at me, you know, and I'll go, wow, he's really getting this. This is awesome. But think about the things that are inside us that we have yet to release by the power of the Spirit. So let's take a look here in the next few slides on what is possible, what is accomplished by agreeing in prayer. The power of agreement will first of all bring victory. Here's the battle of the Amalekites with Joshua. So they ran into an enemy and they were going to go to battle. So Moses was directed by God to go up to the top of the hill and lift up his hands and pray. And of course we know that as long as his hands were up, they were winning. When his hands came down, they were losing. So he needed help. You can't hold your arms up all day long. Try it. So Aaron and Hur go up there and stand beside him. They lift him up. Hold up his arms. That's called standing together in the unity and the power of the Spirit. So God wants us to succeed, and the devil comes in to try to divide and conquer. So the choice is ours to make. But we have victory when we stand together supporting one another. The second thing that is accomplished in the power of agreement is it brings the anointing and the blessing. There's nothing more exciting. You know, the Psalm 133, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon a head running down the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings, life evermore." So David looks at this power of agreement as it is good and pleasant. It is fragrant. It is refreshing. It is the sure guarantee of God's blessings. There's nothing more exciting than being able to walk together. Being able to walk together and what you're called to do and be and what God has commissioned you for in this community. Now, the power of agreement, the next slide, it will help us make the right decisions. Now, you remember in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus had met with his disciples and he commissioned them, "Don't leave here. Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit." And then he was ascended, taken up into heaven. And so the disciples, the 120 of them, went into the upper room and they began to pray. And God told them they had to replace Judas, who had betrayed Jesus and had taken his own life. And so they needed to know of these two people. They needed someone who had walked with them from the moment Jesus was baptized in the Jordan till the moment he ascended into heaven. They wanted a person who had witnessed all of this with them. And so 120 people had to come into agreement. This was their first test, wasn't it? And so they just called upon the Lord. God revealed to us in our hearts as we cast our lots, move on us to speak. And God showed them who it was, that it was Matthias. And so he was numbered. So God wants us to come into that place where we believe that the outcome will be revealed to us through our voting, our decision making, and God will always give us the right decision. The second thing is that the power of agreement will bring the Holy Spirit. Once again, they were waiting in the upper room. They were in one accord, not the Honda, but they were in one accord and harmony. They were there seeking and knowing that something was about to be given to them. When you come together, harmony leads us to action. And here the Holy Spirit came upon them. I like the definition of one accord here, being unanimous, having mutual consent, being in agreement, having group unity, having one mind and purpose. And then, boom, suddenly the world was turned upside down. The wind began to blow through there, and flames of tongues settled on them, and they began to speak in new languages. And the Holy Spirit birthed the church. 3,000 people were saved that day through Peter's preaching. It was an incredible birth of our church. And then we find the power of agreement will bring Jesus. Matthew says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Jesus always promises. And the minute we started our praise and worship this morning, God just came down and just invaded our space and is here with us. Ministering angels are posted all around this room. And I remember there was a song that I learned a long time ago, and it reminded me of this particular word, that Jesus will come. And let me just sing it for you. Just close your eyes for a minute and just think about this song. He is here, He is here, He is moving among us. He is here, He is here, as we gather in His name. He is here, He is here, and He wants to work a wonder. He is here as we gather in His name. You know, that's the promise God gives to us every single time we get together. You can pray anytime, anywhere. So stop telling people, I'll be praying for you. Do it right there. Let's pray. That's what God wants us to do, instant, in season and out of season. Now, the power of agreement, this is an exciting one, will bring freedom. I love this one. And I have to read this scripture because it's, now this is the early church, okay? So they're learning to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to read Acts 12. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, and when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And this was during the days of unleavened bread, see, one of their festivals, one of their happy days, one of their rejoicing times. And when he seized him, he put him in prison and delivered him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side, woke him, saying, "Get up quickly!" And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." It's like he's having to get him dressed. Hello, we're getting out of here. And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gateway, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And recognizing Peter's voice, in her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and reported that Peter was standing at the gate. And they said to her, "You're out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It's his angel." But Peter continued knocking, "Hello, guys." And when they opened, they saw him, and they were amazed. Now, how many times have we come together in prayer, prayed for something, got it, and couldn't believe it was real? You're kidding me. Well, that's what God said to do when you come together in prayer and you agree as two, and you, whatever you ask, you shall receive. Why are we surprised when God proceeds to carry out his word? That's right. See, God follows and carries out his word. Amen. Amen. And, you know, the second one was when Paul and Silas had cast out a spirit of divination and a fortune teller. And when the men lost their means of living by using this servant girl, they had them beaten and flogged and thrown into prison. And, of course, they were sitting there at night in chains. And at midnight, they decided, it's time to sing. It's time to sing while we're bleeding here. You know, I don't know how this happened in such a phenomenal way when the earthquake occurred and everything fell off. And the jailer thought, well, they're going to kill me if I lose my prisoner, so I might as well kill myself. And they said, no, don't do it. And, of course, then the jailer ends up taking Paul and Silas to his home. He ministers to the family. The whole family is saved. You know, I think Paul might have been singing that night, there is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Have y'all heard that song? Oh, yes. Here we got freedom. Freedom comes when we pray. And I remember praying. Sometimes we come and we pray to keep things out of our community. Sometimes we pray for certain businesses that are not of good reputation to be established. And we did that one time in Houston. We kept marching and marching and praying, and it never happened. In fact, the whole thing has closed down, you know. So God is faithful, faithful to do that. Now, in summary, the power of agreement will bring victory. It will bring God's anointing and blessing. It will help us make right decisions. It will bring the Holy Spirit, bring Jesus, and bring freedom. And that's what happens. And so never underestimate why it's important for us to agree, especially on the things of God. And so now that we've talked about rejoicing and encouraging and agreeing, now we are going to learn how to live in harmony. So we've got to live it out. It's got to find its way into our hearts and minds, into our church, our community, our families, our world. And we learn how to do this, to keep away the divisions in the church and to be of one mind, to be united together. And I think that, you know, we have to recognize when things are out of place. I was taken back. I was doing a little trip down memory lane with some of these slides. So I came across this ebony and ivory. Ebony and ivory live together in perfect harmony on a piano keyboard. But let's see, and then they say, but oh Lord, why can't we, you know? So it's like, how come the black and white keys can be okay on the keyboard, but we can't seem to get it together? But there's a little more to this. You know, when you look at the keyboard, the black and white keys don't necessarily live in perfect harmony. You know, if you take this F sharp next to this G and you play them together, you're going to get, it's kind of like me sitting in that tuning thing in the middle school. Sometimes if you play keys together next to each other, it gives you a very creepy, dissonant sounding clanking noise. And so sometimes that's what happens with us. We get along fine until one of us opens our mouths and expresses an idea or reveals a background or a bias or a point of view that differs from ours. And suddenly, this person's a little too close. They're a little too different, and things get a little clanky. Yet we're called to live together in harmony. So let's look at how this can happen. If ebony and ivory can do it, let's see how we can. So once again, we go back to Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. So here it says, to truly live in harmony means our differences must play together nicely. Sounds like very parental advice, doesn't it? Okay. So what happens in music, this means notes need intervals. You know, when you play a chord, you generally skip a few keys, you know. You don't play them all next to each other, but you play them apart from each other. And so they need space between them. So in life, what we do is we give another space to. Space to be who we are. Space to live as God created us. Space to see and value and not clanker and bicker about the God-given and God-reflected differences in each one of us. But this space between us is not separation, and it's not distance. This is a harmony-creating space called grace. Okay? So it's a harmony-creating space called grace. So when you find yourself feeling like you're an ebony next to an ivory and you're being played together and something's clanking, you need a little space of grace. Do a little harmony check. Space of grace. Separate a little bit so that you can appreciate and get each of you get your hearts and minds in the right place so that you can come back and still be in a place of unity, love and respect, and care for one another. So that kind of leads us to what are the effects of living in harmony with others? And I thought this was a great illustration. It's a question of balance. Living in harmony is a question of balance. You know, and I think when we understand our calling and purpose in life, it first gives us peace. You know, I realize at the core of my being is a gift of encouragement. And professionally, I expressed this gift when I was first licensed as a physical therapist, and I helped people. I encouraged them. I gave them a plan. I walked with them. I walked through it to help them gain strength and function and restored back to their normal daily life. And that was brought great satisfaction to me. But God wanted me to go to another level and get involved building people up spiritually in the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so I did that for 15 years. And now, as a caregiver and an advocate for families, I'm helping them care for their aging parents with dignity. And so the bottom line is what I want to say is you may have many different kinds of jobs in life, but the spiritual gifts that God has given you, you will find expression both in your professional and spiritual life. They will come out no matter where you are. And so when you let them be expressed wherever you're planted, you will find balance, reduce stress, increase joy, and you will have peace within. So here we are. We are to love others as we love ourselves. We have the promise of God's presence with us, an invaluable, sought-out treasure. So when we love each other and we come together in a spirit of love, God is with us. I love this little picture, you know, because sometimes cat and dogs, they're kind of like ebony and ivory right next to each other, clang, clang, clang. But we are to be free to love one another. So let's take a look. Next slide. How can we live in harmony? First, we need to know that we're all madly in love with the same God. That's why I believe that when we come together in worship, that is probably the most unifying time that the body of Christ experiences, because we're focusing on Jesus and the Holy Spirit. God is ministering to us in our own unique way, in our own place where we are, but we are together. As they said in one of the songs we sang, we worship together in one accord. And so we're here in a place of harmony, because when we worship, our eyes are on Him. Our eyes are on Jesus. And so I do believe that that's why when we come together and we spend time in worship, I think I've had more time to hear God's voice and to receive healing, to receive forgiveness, and to really get direction from God. There's so much that is revealed to us in this time of worship. So it may be, I think many people cut out on that part of the service. They don't get the blessing of that. But I think we need to take worship home. We need to take worship in our car. We need to just have it where there's always a song on our heart, a word, a phrase. You know, I think what always tends to happen to me, whatever we sing on Sunday at church stays with me for days. It'll always just, if there's a song that rises up, it's always one of the worship songs that starts, you know, bopping around inside, and that's a really good thing. So Jesus, you know, in his prayer, you remember he wanted them to have the joy that he had with the Father on the night that he was to be betrayed and crucified. And so Jesus prays this prayer in John 17:21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And Jesus prayed this prayer, the next slide, so that then the people of this world will believe that you sent me. So there's a time for us to come together, to come together as one because of our witness. Living in harmony is the most powerful witness to a world needing a loving Savior. You can't ever underestimate it. I like C.S. Lewis, what he says, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun, not because I can see it, but by it I can see everything else. Christ gives us perspective on everything. All right, so let's review our scripture for the weekend that we had. Finally, brothers and sisters, keep rejoicing. Repair what is broken. Encourage each other. Think as one and live at peace. And God, the author of love and peace, will remain with you. Let's take just a brief little look here at peace. God wants us to have peace. We're to cultivate and follow peace. You know, I've always read in the scriptures that the Holy Spirit is the umpire. And when we make a right decision, when we do the right thing, when we say the right thing, when our actions are okay, then there is peace. That means the Holy Spirit has made the call. When there's discord and strife and uneasiness, then we have not let the Holy Spirit rule and reign in that department at that time. We're to cultivate a peaceful disposition and neither say or do anything that has a tendency to irritate each other. Now, yes, we are to speak truth in love. But remember, love always goes with truth. You know, it's like grace and truth. Jesus came and he was grace and truth personified. And somehow he managed to be able to say whatever needed to be said. But he did make some people mad, didn't he? Oh, the Pharisees always got mad. But, you know, when we speak the truth in love, then, again, we just leave it to God to do the work that needed to be done with that truth that was spoken, because we don't have to say it in an irritating way. We say it in love. And then we let God do the work. Love cannot live, neither exist, where there are brawls, contentions, and divisions. God cannot be found where there is neither love or peace. So beginning to have peace with our brothers and sisters, it starts when we have peace with ourselves and with God. And so the scripture says, where do fightings and quarrels come from? They surface because we don't get what we want. When Christ is sitting on the throne in each of our hearts, then peace will rule and reign in the church. Now, I got this next slide. It's kind of an interesting one. I don't know. I just had this little medical, biological moment here of homeostasis, okay? How many of you know what that is? You know, that's a familiar word. Okay, so living in harmony means that each of us have God's peace and harmony inside, but it doesn't mean that everything's going right outside. that circumstances aren't the best. It means that no matter what is going on in my life, I have peace with God and God is in control. Because, see, homeostasis is a biological term, and it means the tendency of the body to seek and maintain a condition of balance or equilibrium within its internal environment, even when faced with external changes. Why did you bring a jacket this weekend? So that your homeostasis could be maintained. You don't want to be out on the top of the mountain in the snowy climate without covering. But your body fights to maintain its constant temperature, 98.6, or whatever your baseline is. And so this little passage here I put next to the little guy, keep calm and maintain a relatively stable internal environment despite a changing external environment. And so that is really a work of the Holy Spirit to keep you internally stable, steady, with love, confidence, peace, security. You know who you know. When you know that God is on the throne, then you know that regardless of what's going on around you, if all hell breaks loose, you know you have godly homeostasis inside. Things are steady and calm. All right, next slide. When a body is healthy, each part is doing what it was designed to do. You know, we can keep it real, but we all got to be real. And we've got to work together. So if the church is to prosper, there must be unity in absence of strife. The testimony of the church to the world is a positive one when we exhibit harmony and peace and love for one another. And I love the passage from Ephesians. He joins and holds together the whole body with its ligaments, providing the support needed. So each part does its proper design to form a healthy, growing, and mature body that builds itself up in love. When a body is healthy, each part is doing what it was designed to do, and that's where true joy and satisfaction is experienced. Hallelujah. I love all those parts working together. So here's my question to Sacred Light of Christ. What were you designed to do at Sacred Light of Christ? What are your gifts? And what gifts are operating in the church? Can the vision and goal of the church be carried out with just a few doing their part? No, it requires all of us working together. And I would say that it would be all of us working together systematically. Systematically means that you have a routine that you participate, contribute, and are a part of. You have ongoing, steady responsibilities, accountabilities. You have actions that are expected. You have things that you are to do. It is to be a systematic involvement, not just wait until there's something to be done. But there is something to be done almost every day, isn't there? And I think I'm preaching to the choir, huh? All right. So here we go. Next slide. We will keep it real when we follow this simple word given by the Apostle Paul. And whatever you do, whatever you do in word or in deed, yeah, do it all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, giving thanks to the Father through him. God gave me that song a long time ago in the 70s when I was mowing the yard. And I was mowing the yard with a blade thing, not a electric, I mean, not a gas mower, but one of those little old blades. And I just had this song just well up into this scripture. So I had this little song. So, you know, never underestimate the power of your gift and your service. And remember, it matters not how, whether you're in the front or you're in behind the scenes. Jesus says, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. So last slide, ta-ta. So let's keep it real by being joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace, then the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. God, we ask you to seal this message in our heart. And let some of the songs, the ditties, the funny things, the cliches, the expressions, whatever it takes to bring them up to our minds and hearts. God, I know that this is a year of keeping it real. And we give you thanks and we commit this church and our lives together into your hands for the work that is before us. As Amy Grant sang, it's good to live on the mountaintop, but who's going to reach the people in the valley below? So we commit to doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.